With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Puppies and kitties, books and movies. Yes, we love these. Listen to this podcast, please. Books are ghosts.
So hello, everyone.
Hello.
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 Welcome to Book Squad Goals. Today, we will be discussing The Atmospherians, the debut novel by Alex McElroy. Mm-hmm. Before that, oh wait, also, I already messed it up. We're joined by a special guest today. Welcome, Jace Chambliss.
Hello.
So happy to have you. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself and your reading habits and your dog?
Oh my gosh, I could never leave Gus out. Special shout out to him. It is his gotcha day. We are celebrating 4 years together. And fun fact, if you go on my Instagram, I take a picture with him every year wearing the same sweatshirt. And so throughout the years, it's been four times now, we recreate the same picture. The only difference is that now he weighs about 90 pounds, and when I got him, he probably weighed 10 pounds. So
it stretched out a bit.
So it's a workout regimen just to make sure I can pick him up every year. But I'm Jace. I met Emily through Pure Barre. I'm an avid Pure Barre goer, and I recently, through the pandemic, picked up reading and hit a goal of 40 books last year. And
that's a lot of books right out the gate.
That was my same – that's what I hit last year.
I hit 40. My goal was 25, but I hit 40, and so 40 Woo! Is my goal this year. Who knows if we'll hit that many, but we did add a tally for The Atmospherians, which
yes,
I finished a few minutes before we started recording this.
Same.
And what's your Instagram?
My Instagram, I'm @I'm_Jace, J-A-Y-C-E. And it's a little bit of everything. I like to call myself the influencer of our generation. You like to have these influencers who seem like they have their lives all put together. And my Instagram is really dedicated to kind of like tearing down the fourth wall and revealing a lot of those secrets. So
awesome. I think that's a good thing, though.
I love it. I love it. And I have so many internet friends, and I'm glad to add you all to the mix.
Awesome. And so you have a podcast too?
I do. I have The Edit. So a little bit, a part of tearing down that fourth wall with I'm Jace is its counterpart, The Edit, where I do some social media coaching and branding and things like that. I studied communication in college. Nice. And so I like to partner with women in small business and help them really focus on the stories that they're telling other people, which makes sense why Emily wrangled me to read this book and be on this particular
Yeah,
podcast.
You're going to have some interesting input here.
So yeah, the Edit podcast, The Edit blog, I'm_Jace. I love new internet friends. So follow me.
Yay!
Yes. Yay. And we will link to all of those things in our show notes. But welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Can I make a comment before we start? Mm-hmm. I have just seen that Alex McElroy is now Isle McElroy.
Oh, shit.
And
okay.
is going by they, them pronouns.
They are already in their...
Okay.
But, okay, so Isle?
Isle. I-S-L-E.
Okay.
As of 3/16/22, baby.
Wow.
Dang. As in the day we're recording.
Yes.
So I think it's okay for us to leave this in and say, just sound this out.
I literally Googled, is this McElroy related to the McElroy brothers in any way? And this tweet came up.
Well, now we know.
And they said, I know it'll be an adjustment to my friends and haters alike.
And, shout out to the haters. Also just people who podcast.
Yeah.
Yes.
Or are reading their book.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. I mean, I'm glad that happened today and not tomorrow, where we had to go back and
add an
something
addendum
in the beginning.
Hey guys, we weren't trying to...
Yeah, we found out in real time.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. As is our custom, we'll start with an intro question to get us into this material. So, you've just been canceled on the internet.
Oh, no.
What did you do wrong?
I'll go first, because I already know the answer. This is Kelly, and I've been canceled for online bullying.
Is this when you said, quit talking about Adele's weight?
Yeah, that was fun. That was, the one time I ever, went viral, and it was literally in a comment section of a meme account where they had posted, a picture of Adele before and after and was like, let's all celebrate Adele's amazing glow up. And I was like, Adele was hot before and she's also hot now. And I don't feel like it's really great to refer to it as a glow up, because you are, by saying that, you're saying she didn't look good before and now she does. And then the owner of the meme account replied to me and was like, can't we just be happy for her and move on?
No!
And I was like, Adele did not post about this being be happy for me. Look at this glow up that I want. Don't fucking comment on a celebrity's body. You have no idea what she...
Don't comment on anybody's weight, right? Because you don't know why people have gained weight or lost weight or... You know, sometimes weight gain is a really positive thing. Sometimes weight loss is a really negative thing.
Exactly. Anyway,
there are a lot more compliments you can pay somebody that have nothing to do with anything that they look like.
Yes. And it was just the implication was because she had just gone through a divorce, and the implication was her revenge body sort of thing.
Maybe she was sad and didn't eat.
Right. Maybe. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
It was just so the meme owner, account owner, doubled down and did not say oh yeah, maybe I should rephrase the way that I did that. And then my comment got 20,000 likes or something.
Oh my
and
gosh.
It had hundreds of comments underneath it. And it was just all these people started coming to my Instagram. My favorite was that I had recently posted a picture of carrots that looked really good. And I was like, these carrots are so sexy. Because they looked sexy. The carrots looked sexy. And then someone commented on my post and they were like, oh, so Adele losing weight can't be sexy, but carrots can be sexy?
Oh my God.
Interesting.
The carrots
and I was
are not sentient.
Who are you?
I don't remember what that are you piece of the story, but that is the best piece of it.
I love that story.
If you go to that one photo on my Instagram, it has 60 comments because it was just a picture of carrots. And it's all of my, multiple people coming to that picture and harassing me, and then friends of mine replying to them and fighting with them. And it was just I was just I can't fucking deal with this. It was insane. But anyway, actually, I think something probably similar to what happens to Sasha in the novel might happen to me.
Bullying a man.
I'd probably be really, really mean to a man, and he would, and then it would be my fault. But.
So your story kind of made me think about what mine would be, because I was thinking when is an instance where people got mad at me on the internet? And so this is Emily, by the way. And I think I would get canceled for talking about animals as if they are better than or deserve more rights than people. Because, I mean, I'll admit this, and I apologize, because I was all right, I realize that most people don't think like this, but someone posted something on Facebook, you know, about a this like family, these like in, speaking of influencers, they were like this influencer, like YouTuber family, and they like adopted a baby and then decided the baby wasn't like a good fit for them, and so they like gave it back. And in the post, they were like, I can't believe they did this, as if the baby were like some animal. And I commented and I was like, well, to be fair, you shouldn't do that with animals either. And people got so pissed at me. They were like, that's not the point. Why are you talking about animals right now? And I was like, well, I just don't feel like I hate it when people say like they did X, Y, Z, like they were
shouldn't
an
be
animal.
Doing it
again. No, animals shouldn't be treated like that either. Like,
it's not like you said.
So anyway, I get real
fine to do it to the baby, but not the animal. You said also not animals.
Right.
I was like, I was kind of saying like, my intent was like, yes, this is really bad, but also like, it's bad for animals. It's also not good for people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's
like
not
they
like
also consider whenever you adopt an animal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like you are making a commitment. Like, unless you're literally about to, like, you're going to be homeless. Like, I don't see what, like, you need to consider these things unless something really seriously tragic would have to happen for me to ever like give up an animal. I just can't imagine. Anyway, but I was going to say this reminds me of that meme from Community where Britta's like, I can excuse racism, but I draw the line at animal cruelty.
Yeah. I'm not as bad as that, but like, yeah, I know I am like a big, like bleeding heart for like animal rights. And, sometimes I can get, I don't know, like
passionate,
too intense about it, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Passionate's a good word.
Yeah.
The animals need someone to be passionate.
But I mean, I did apologize because I realized that the comment was taken.
I wouldn't have apologized. I'm like, I don't see anything wrong.
I don't
with
think
this
you did
comment.
Anything wrong.
Anyway.
We're all canceled now.
Yeah.
Everybody's canceled.
Who wants to go next?
I'll try.
Yeah.
Even though I wrote this question, I didn't really know how I was going to respond. I'm thinking of like times I actually got in like arguments on the internet, but I think what would really do it for me is like, I think I would probably go after someone from The Bachelor too hard and like one of their other Bachelor friends would then call me out and then everyone would jump on that. That person would definitely be a man.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them. In this scenario,
would it be Clayton?
It could be Clayton.
Hypothetically,
I don't feel like Clayton has enough of a following, though. Like, does anybody like Clayton?
He's an oatmeal person.
He's worse than that now because not first he was boring, and now he's boring plus like
stupid,
like selfish and awful.
Yeah, he's a real dummy.
Oh my gosh, I can't.
I love that. On Love to See It podcast, they call him Clay-Doh.
Zero empathy that yes. man has.
Yeah.
I like
yeah,
that better
what
because...
it would be. I would just get, like, too into something that happened on that show and, like, say something horrible to someone.
Yeah.
I like Clay-Doh better because I don't want to insult oatmeal.
And also
which
it
I
helps
enjoy.
Me
from...
Yeah, oatmeal can be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like oatmeal. It helps me from oatmeal. Not saying... Colton instead of Clayton, which I've done so many times at this point.
I can't believe none of the women did that.
Yes.
I know. I for sure
maybe
would
they
have.
Did and they just, you know, didn't see it. But that would be great.
That would have been really funny if they had kept it in though.
For the bloopers, they needed to put all the instances of
mm-hmm. quick side note about Clayton. I was out of town for work last week and like I was driving around with one of my coworkers who has like not really ever seen the show. And this is like a guy in his 40s. And he was like, I was flipping through TV in the hotel last night. And like, I was watching The Bachelor. Does anyone watch that?
And were like, you just yes. like shaking?
Yeah. And I was like, and then I dropped like 20 facts and he's like, okay. But he was like, so the guy that's hosting, is that like his dad or his brother or something? Like, no, they just look exactly the same.
Oh my gosh, when Jesse said he was coming back for next season, I was like,
I know.
No!
Yeah. I wanted Tayshia like, and Clayton.
Nobody wants that.
Tayshia and Clayton. Tayshia and Caitlin back. But at the same time, like, yeah. I didn't hate Jesse as much as I thought I would. I was like, he's fine. Like,
the whole thing was just a dumpster fire, though. Like, yeah. There was no leadership. It was basically like, okay, we're going to turn a bunch of cameras on. And yeah. Just play.
See what happens.
Like, we're just going to yeah. Play Bachelor and see what happens.
Yeah. Invite some alumni. Honestly,
it worked out great for, like, viewership.
Yeah.
Like, I had a good time this week watching it.
I mean, I did have sex with the person that I'm seeing for the first time last night right after we watched. So.
Good omens.
Romance.
I don't know why I thought you were gonna say you had sex with someone from the show. And I was like, what?
No. I mean, that is a goal of mine.
We need to stop this podcast. Tell me that story.
I think we all know who I need to have sex with.
I think we would all have sex with the same person, probably.
Yeah.
Justin?
It's Justin.
Hands down. I don't even need to think about it. He's like the hottest guy who's ever been on that show.
For sure.
Anyway. Justin from Katie's season.
For like a split second, I thought she meant Justin, Susan's husband. And I was like.
That would be so very inappropriate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jace, I believe. Wait, has Mary gone either yet?
Okay, I can think of something. I know what I would be canceled for. I would probably be canceled for making a joke that got taken offensively or that was offensive. Not even understanding the gravity behind what I said because I would just be uneducated on however it was offensive. That's probably
it happens, you know.
That's probably.
I feel like I could very easily do that as well. I
probably done that on this podcast.
Yeah, I don't want to go
really
back.
It's really easy
to
do. Like, you can't be an expert in every thing. I'm not in the nature of like hurting people or offending people on purpose. So I'm not very educated on like ugly things to say to somebody.
Sure.
You know, so.
Well, and I feel like, especially, like, as a, like, white, straight, able-bodied person, there's a lot I don't understand about, like, I have a lot of, like, privileges in my life, and there's a lot of things, like, I don't
absolutely.
You have more opportunities to offend.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We apologize for being white on this podcast, like, all the time. Like, we're sorry, we're white.
Like,
we're
just like, we all 100% get this, but...
I am trying,
I'm sorry,
but...
I'm white. I'm sorry. I'm straight. Like, I'm sorry.
I understand that I suck inherently.
You know what? I think I might get in trouble on TikTok somehow. I don't know how exactly.
What are you doing on TikTok? Are you a TikToker? Look,
I wouldn't call myself a TikToker. I have a few TikToks. 95% of them are cats. My cats doing things.
Yes.
Same. But I think, like, if I started making a bunch of TikToks, I would make one. Like, because they'll get you for the smallest thing. Like, you say a word funny on TikTok, they're going to drag you.
Yeah.
Gen Z is just going to drag you.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I just made my TikTok private. Yeah, that was back from the pandemic days. Okay. I used to keep a TikTok private and only, like, I would make videos on it, but, like, just for myself. Sometimes I would upload them to Instagram because that's where I hang out is on Instagram. But recently, so Sean, my husband, he proposed to me with a song. And very sweet.
What song?
He wrote it. It's, like, a special song. Like, he proposed to me. And... after a long time of begging, pleading, whatever, he finally has recorded the song and I decided that we need to have TikTok for the song to sit on the TikTok. And so I'm learning TikTok publicly.
Yeah. It's a tough platform, especially because it's like fucking impossible to use as far as like making a video.
It's not intuitive.
Like it is not not intuitive, and it's also not user-friendly or really efficient.
Well, there are all these other apps that I like researched and have to download to make the TikToks, and it's a lot. It's kind of, I felt when I pressed like make profile public, I felt like I was like long time listener, first time caller. How's it going? So I feel you.
Sometimes I have a very weird For You page on TikTok that I've curated, like gotten the algorithm so specific.
Yeah.
That algorithm.
And are there lots of cat videos?
There's a lot of cat videos. There's a lot of substances that look inappropriate videos and weird noises videos because I send those to my friend Kyle a lot.
Yeah, I get a lot of like people reacting to the videos of people making horrible food items.
I'm so glad I'm wearing headphones. I do not want my phone to hear any of this.
The other day, my husband kept saying, I have a headache. I have such a bad headache. And like 10 minutes later, Instagram was like, Excedrin, extra strength for when you just can't get rid of the headache. And I was like,
it's fucking terrifying.
I love it though. I love it. I love to be spot on from my phone. It is so convenient.
All right, so we are going to spoil this book. So if you haven't read it yet and you want to before you listen, just it's going to get spoiled. Also, a little content warning for possible talk of suicide and disordered eating. And am I leaving out anything else?
Cult-like behavior?
I was trying to think about it.
Cult-like behavior?
Yeah. Coercive cults. Control. Okay. Here's the Goodreads summary.
Animal death.
Yeah, animal death. A novel about two best friends, a disgraced influencer Barney. And a struggling actor who form the atmosphere, a cult designed to reform problematic men. Sasha Marcus was once the epitome of contemporary success, an internet sensation, social media darling, and a creator of a high-profile wellness brand for women. But a confrontation with an abusive troll has taken a horrifying turn. And now she's at rock bottom, canceled and doxxed online, fired from her waitress job, and fortressed in her apartment while men's rights protesters rage outside. What a nightmare. All that once glittered, now condemns. That sentence bothers me a lot. Sasha confides in her oldest childhood friend, Dyson, the name of a vacuum, a failed actor with a history of body issues, who hatches a plan for Sasha to restore her reputation by becoming the face of his new business venture, The Atmosphere, a rehabilitation community for men. Based in an abandoned summer camp and billed as a workshop for job training, it is actually a rigorous program designed to rid men of their toxic masculinity and heal them physically, emotionally, and socially. Sasha has little choice but to accept. But what horrors await her as the resident female leader of a crew of washed-up, desperate men? And what exactly does Dyson want?
Bum, bum, bum. As usual, I'm like, I don't know, this is a good description.
It rarely is.
I know, I love reading these after I've read the book to like be like, is this accurate? Like,
yeah, I don't know. It's hard to think of like the best way to describe this book too, though.
There's a lot happening.
Yeah.
Wait, what do we all rate
them? We do that at the end.
We do that at the end.
Okay.
I already peaked. The suspense. What everyone rated it.
Because, you know, sometimes these conversations change.
Yeah, no,
I said I already peaked at what everybody rated it.
I try not to see, but
I haven't seen because I think I finished the book before.
Yeah. I saw yours.
Okay, we're not talking about this.
All right. I've lost control again. All right.
First take the reins.
Sasha is publicly ridiculed and harassed for her role in the suicide of a man who trolled her influencer account. Does Sasha deserve the blame she gets for this man's death?
No.
What does this whole situation say about online harassment and the gender politics involved?
That the police should take online harassment more seriously.
Oof. Yes.
It really, really bugged me. This is Jace, by the way. Mm-hmm. It really, really bugged me that there was like a passage where she talked about having gone to the police and they were like, well, what can you do? Like,
she tried to get help.
Like, she tried to get help. It wasn't as though like this backlash was her first line of defense.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like, she was dealing with this for a long time.
The same guy.
This person was harassing her, doing horrible things, like creating like awful artwork with her face like glued on to like porn and shit, like just like awful, awful things. And like, I'm sorry, but like, if I say I hope you die on the internet because you're fucking like making me, you're like harassing me, you're making me very uncomfortable, you're making me feel unsafe. Mm-hmm. I don't think that that's wrong. And that is why I would be canceled for bullying. But
are you, Sasha?
I don't. So, like, I don't think you should tell people to kill themselves.
She didn't say kill yourself.
She said the world would be a more beautiful place without people like you in it.
That's not saying to kill yourself.
It's implied.
It's just a statement of a fact.
People in glass houses should not throw stones. If you can't dish it, and if you can't take it, don't dish it.
That's true. I mean, like, I don't think you should ever, like, directly say that. But again, like, she was at her last resort. She felt, like, I don't think that her comment was, like, cool or good to say. Right, I mean, like,
obviously it's not the most.
No, it's not the high road, for sure.
No, but, I understand where she was coming from. And it felt like in the media representation of it, after he died, they were like, but he was a pastor. And he had kids. And I'm like, okay, but he was also sending, like, really terrible things to her and creating multiple accounts to harass her.
Mm-hmm. This kind of gets into the part of Susan's question about, like, men specifically, right? Because I think this is like, the way that men are seen after doing stuff like this. And if the roles had been reversed, like, if for some reason, like, Sasha had killed herself after the harassment she was getting, we would not be seeing the same like framing of her character, right? It would have been like she was unstable
for sure.
You know, like
if you take the no exit approach, she was on drugs.
There would be a focus on like
this happens all the time. Like, this happens constantly.
Yeah, and also I think, like, there's this expectation, like, that women are supposed to just, like prepare for and expect harassment at all times. Yeah. And, like, that's just something that's – it's just going to happen. So you just have to deal with it. Which is, like, there are obviously, like – and I've, like – my thinking on this has, like, evolved a lot over, like, the – like, as I've gotten older and I've, like, realized, like – like, again, I'm a white woman, like, me getting catcalled on the street isn't, like, the worst thing in the world. Like, other people have much more horrible things happening to them. However, it's still, like, not cool. It's not okay. It makes me feel uncomfortable. I can't go, I can't, like, walk, like, you know, 20 minutes alone at, like, you know, 11 o'clock at night because I'm afraid of men. Like, you know? And that's, like, a thing that we're just supposed to expect. And, like, there's, like, that victim-blaming idea. And, like, you need to travel in packs. You need to make sure that you're watching your drink. You need to make sure that, you know, everything. You need to just, like, be careful and be protecting yourself as a woman. So, anything bad happening to a woman, it's like, well, what did she do to deserve it, like, type of thing? Or, like, how did she act inappropriately or invite this? Was she drunk?
Well, even, like, even if you're not the one who, you know, starts something, like, I think you're also expected to watch the way you respond to someone who catcalls you.
Because you're also supposed to be, and this, like, gets into the social media aspect and, like, the part of him, of her saying what she did to him. Like, women are supposed to be, like, more understanding and compassionate. And we're supposed to handle things with grace. And we're not supposed to show anger. And, like, so it's, like, there is this expectation, like, take the high road. Like, that's, like, what you're supposed to do if someone is doing something like this man is. And so there was really, like, no chance for her to be forgiven. And all of these, like, other men and other, like, women, too, are, like, rallying behind this, like, person. And they're in the media coverage that, like, we see in the book anyway. There's, like, zero, like, acknowledgement of anything that he did to her.
Yeah, and she's called a murderer, as if she, like, picked up a weapon.
Which is dramatic. Not the case.
Right. Which also, like, never, if someone dies by suicide, it is never someone else's fault. Like, you can't directly.
You also, like, I hate when someone dies by suicide and everyone's like, why did it happen? Because, like, I feel like, honestly, like, the truth of the matter is there's never, like, one reason why it happens. You can't say, like, well, someone said one mean thing to this person and then they,
it's, you know, more nuanced.
Like, it's more nuanced. There's usually, like, some sort of, like, mental health thing happening. Like, there are other things going on. You can't just say, like, well, they, you know, I don't know. That really bothers me also. Like, people try to make sense of suicide by, like, trying to figure out why it happened. And it's not something you can just say, like, well, here are the reasons. Let me lay it out for you. Like, it's not.
Yeah. Like, well, and
I live streamed it, though. And said,
exactly.
You made me do this. So,
like, right. Like, this man directly.
Yeah, but
not
that's not
the actual reason. I'm saying that's what he decided to make the narrative of it.
Right. And, like, that is an abuse tactic that is used a lot of the time.
Look at what you made me do.
Right.
By men, by the way.
Yeah. Usually. Often in an abusive relationships, a person will say, I will kill myself if you leave me, or that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And, like, saying, like, I'm killing myself because you did this thing is just, like, you can't. That's not
like him saying
fair.
This is what you
it's
wanted.
Just not fair.
This is what you wanted.
Right.
Yeah.
To go back, Kelly, to your stuff, like, there's such a, think about The Bachelor, how we were just talking about The Bachelor earlier, and how people just think that you can say, because you're hiding behind a screen, you can say or do anything you want. Mm-hmm. And these people, because they have these followers or this brand or this attention, that they asked for this. They should be prepared.
Yeah, Susan.
To handle this backlash. Mm-hmm. If they can't handle DMs or comments like this, then they shouldn't be in their position. And I think that's garbage. Like, that's just not nice. That's not a nice way to think. For it, again, to come back on her, or as an influencer or a point of power, I put influencer in quotation marks for the podcast, but just to understand that these people are also people too. It bothered me that, like you guys said, there was no, well, look at all the messages and things that he also was doing to spur on this one comment that she said, because she lost her mind.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is, like, we don't ever have all of the information in any of these situations. Like, if we are, you know, viewers of The Bachelor or whatever, or if we're, you know, online seeing two people have an interaction, like, we don't know what actually happened between them oftentimes. And, like, you know, she did say in the book that, like, the other people were commenting on it and, like, agreeing with her. So some people were aware of what was going on, obviously, and there was, like, kind of a pile on. But I don't know. I'm just, like, I'm in this specific situation, I'm very much Team Sasha. Overall, am I Team Sasha? I mean,
it's hard debatable. To be team TBD. Anyone, really.
This book was chock full of villains.
Speaking of one of them, Dyson.
Team Peter.
I can't get past. I'm like, is he named after
team
the vacuum because he sucks so much?
Yeah.
The air wrap.
The Dyson air wrap. So in most of the cult content we consume these days, we usually see the narrative that people never like mean to join a cult, or even that cult leaders don't necessarily set out to become cult leaders. They were, you know, tried something with better intentions and it became this thing. But Dyson is always like straight up, I'm starting a cult. Yeah.
Like, I'm trying to start a cult.
And cults are great, and that's what I'm doing. What difference does that assertion make, and why does he see this as a solution? And to what problem, really?
Well, one of the problems is, like, he's kind of making up these, like, cult rules as he goes along. Like, there's nothing that he, like, there's no dogma that he actually, like, believes in, you know? And so, like, he's just sort of like, let's try this ritually thing and see if it works. And then, like, he's like, let's try this, you know? And none of it's, like, it just feels very, like, yeah, random.
Because he's not doing it in the way that, for the same reason as a lot of cult leaders do this sort of thing, which is to have control over people. He doesn't care about having control over people. He just wants attention. So it's like, he doesn't care really what it is that they're doing. He just, like, wants them to be paying attention to him and love him. And he wants that to be broadcast to the world so that everyone pays attention to him.
Which is why, like, it's so funny that, like, the power dynamic between him and Sasha, right? Because, like, he wants so badly to get the attention, but, like, everyone's like, well, now Sasha's going by the name Dyson.
Right?
And she's leading a cult. And he's like, it's me. No, wait.
It's my cult.
Also, like, Dyson seems to just kind of decide what words mean regardless of their previous associations. Like, he'll say, I think at one point he said, like, people always think cults are bad, but that's not, like, really what a cult is.
And then he names, like, four really bad cults as an example.
Yes! Like, he's like, you know, Heaven's Gate.
People killed people.
That one was bad, Dyson. But I don't think I think he has really convinced himself he's doing something good. I also, like, maybe, I don't know if this is getting too much into anything else, but, like, this book kind of had a little bit of a speculative fiction feel to me, because pretty early in the book, someone says, like, you know, man hordes.
Oh, yeah, that comes up in the next topic, too, I think.
Men who just collectively black out and do stuff together.
And sometimes the thing is, like, mowing grass.
Nice.
Right.
Which, like, please, help yourself.
Fixing
or, like, all of these dudes blacked out and took an old woman to a doctor's appointment.
While she screams.
It kind of made me think that this book is, like, set in, like, a near future, right? Like, especially because of the technology that's introduced towards the end. It was, like, almost, like, just, like, a tiny sprinkling.
I was here for that.
I loved it. Yeah.
But that's, like, part of what Dyson thinks he's doing something good is because, like, there is a visible problem with men specifically. So he's like, oh, we can, like, help them, and if everybody pays attention to me,
I don't think he had any intention or care to help people, though. I think that he latched on to Sasha's wellness brand and was like, well, she was already doing this and now she's disgraced, so this is my perfect time to be, and, like, absorbs what Sasha had built.
I kept thinking that, okay, so, and then I know, like, there's a, like, confrontation about this a little bit, but, like, I kept thinking that so basically, like, Sasha, okay, let me backpedal a little bit more. I was backpedaling, but I gotta backpedal a little
down the hill.
Okay, so so when they are younger and, like, first becoming friends, or, like, near the beginning of their friendship, like, Dyson is like, help me lose weight. I want to be skinny. And he, like, does all of these, like, things, unhealthy things to try to be thinner. And Sasha basically, like, takes his story and, like, uses it to sell her brand. And, like, I kept thinking, like, Okay, Dyson has invited her into this thing as some, like, elaborate revenge plot. And, like, he kind of brings it up a little bit, but that's, like, not where it went. And I was like, I just thought he was going to – I thought that was going to be, like, a bigger
deal
plot point that she basically, like, exploited him.
I think it's you can go ahead, Kelly. You can go.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, I think, like, a lot of it comes back to his relationship with his dad, which is, like, when we ask, like, what problem is he trying to solve, I think, like, while I think that a lot of what he's doing is for attention, he wants attention, I think that his desire for attention comes from his relationship with his father, feeling like he wasn't loved and cared for, and his dad is the definitive, like, guy who should have been in the Atmospherians, like, one of these guys who's kind of, like, a failed everything and very, like, a lot of toxic masculinity going on, like, super, like, a dick to his son, like, yeah, can't communicate, is, like, obsessed with being macho and working out, ends up dying by suicide. And so I think, like, Dyson is, like, all of this stuff is, like, all going back to that. And I think, like, it's kind of, I think it's, like, interesting commentary on this idea that we often discuss when it comes to, like, men who are bad, which is, like, who was their role model? Like, how did they grow up? Like, what did they see? Like, what cycles of abuse and, like, other things are they dealing with? And, like, from the beginning of time, essentially, because, like, fathers can really fuck you up and they will. I mean, mothers can fuck you up and they will also. But I think, you know, there's kind of, like, a very, like, daddy issues is, like, a really specific and widespread phenomena. And I think, like, that's a lot of all of this is, like, Dyson is, like, he's, like, obviously, like, angry at Sasha, but I think he's ultimately, like, angry at his dad. And so none of this, like, really comes back to his feelings about Sasha. It all comes back to his dad, who he can't do anything about it because his dad is dead. So it's, like, he can't have these conversations with his dad. He can't try to resolve it. So, like, all he can do is just, like, spend his life trying to, like, resolve this, like, deep well of pain inside of him from this experience that he had, which is, like, of course, never an excuse for being a shitty person, but, you know.
I think that a part of it, too, was his circumstance. Like, think about the friend that you have, or this is how I read it, at least. Like, the friend that you have, she doesn't do anything specific to her face. She doesn't have to wear makeup. It's just, like, good genetics. And then he is, like, feeling dejected and rejected by his parents and his situation. And he comes up to Sasha. He's like, how do I be like you? Like, how do I be more this way? And she's like, I don't know. Like, there's this that people do. Like, she's just kind of throwing noodles at a wall, seeing what sticks. And he's trying it all.
Yeah.
And what stuck was, like, an eating disorder.
Right,
which is not healthy, and she hates it, but at the same time, she's also got that guilt for, I told him to do all these things, and the only thing that works for me is to cut out, to abandon everything.
Right. Yeah, and I think, like, he also is, his, like, closeness with Sasha and his, like, obsession with being like her. It's interesting, too, thinking about this from the perspective of, like, this coming from kind of, like, from, like, a non-binary author and the idea of gender performance. And I think, like, Dyson specifically is a character who is, like, really, he's an actor, like, which I don't think is, like, a, you know, coincidence. He's very much, like, performing his masculinity, like, and, but then he also is, like, figuring out how to be, like, this likable person who gets attention, and he sees Sasha and he's like, well, people like her, it must be because she's thin, and it must be because of what she looks like, you know? But yeah, I think, I don't know, he's, like, a very interesting character.
He's very interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
I could go.
I want to talk about those man words.
So the atmosphere, according to Dyson, is like centered on fixing toxic masculinity, but there's a lot of other stuff happening at the same time, or a lot of different kinds of toxicity, even just like the list of the types of men.
Yes.
Which is Yoga Man is easily my favorite.
Like, there are only 12 types of men. Yeah.
Toxic
What's man. Peter accommodating man?
He was I thought he was mama's boy.
There's like it's yeah, that I think hold on. Let me just look at, I can read the types to us. There's
okay. One was sportsman.
Yeah, that was my favorite.
Peter was accommodating.
Yeah, so stubborn man, that's Randy. Righteous man, accommodating man, military man, workaholic man. Sportsman, negligent dad, yoga man, college man, addict man, professor man, and cheater man.
You know, this is not, like, it's really reductive, but also I'm like, yeah, these are all types of men.
Kelly, can you read what she says right after that, where she's like, what about
these Yeah, guys? She says, Dyson's list hardly seemed comprehensive. What about rich men and predator men and feeble men and undeterrable men and desiring men and ugly men and pitiful men and boring men and unemployable men and chivalrous men and bellicose men and the worst of all, well-meaning men?
I just think it's interesting that the accommodating man is the one who was in the man horde.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Is that accommodating to be in a man horde?
Could be.
Wasn't okay. A man horde like a disease, though?
I have ideas.
Mary has ideas.
Oh. From the way man hordes are described, it sounds like everyone in a man horde is like in a collective fugue state. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a collective, like, what do they call that?
There's that. That thing.
No, I know what you mean.
Disassociation?
We're going to cut all this out and make it sound like we knew right away.
It's like shared.
It's like
something. It's not shared delusion,
it's like,
but something
it's
like
called
that.
Like, shared. In French, it's like something like folie à deux.
Groupthink.
Like the madness of two or like.
I can't remember
madness.
The name either.
Yeah. Oh
my gosh. You just got to listen to a podcast about those two British sisters smart. Who ran into the highway together.
What if I did a Google?
And that will sum it up for you.
I mean, yeah, shared delusion literally also that French thing that Susan just said, because I just Googled that. But like,
we'll just say yes. Like, it's like a shared delusion.
It reminds me of something that used to happen in the 1800s a lot, where people, and this is like kind of contested, but people would black out, just totally disassociate and end up in other countries in Europe.
What? Is that real?
I would dissociate and end up in
a European
country.
Yeah, because
like, that sounds great.
Yeah. It's somewhere behind me. I have the book. There's a book on it, Mad Travelers. I don't know. It's by Ian something. Mad Travelers is the book that I'm thinking about. And people would just sort of collectively go into a fugue state and end up other places. And when people ask them, like, what's going on?
Okay, wait. Is mass hysteria the term that you were thinking
Yes.
of?
It is. Hysterical it's mass contagion. Hysteria. So, like, there is.
I feel like an
there
idiot.
Is an
I
idea.
I just found it on Wikipedia.
It's been a while.
No, I need to know
since
more about
I've
this.
I've read this book, but like the idea is kind of like people can almost get some mental illness through, like, I don't want to say it's like contagious, but you can get like wrapped up in.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying, like, I feel like it's interesting that the accommodating one is the one who, because I feel like that's,
like,
a
people-pleaser thing.
Yeah.
Like, sure, I'll be in
a
man horde.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
like, oh, is this what we're doing?
Let's yeah.
Or like someone with like a weak, like a weak constitution or whatever, right. Or like a person who, just doesn't have like much of their own identity.
There is a theory that in some respects, eating disorders are kind of related to this idea of like, I don't know how to phrase it, but like, if you see a lot of eating disorder content, like if you're a teen in the early 2000s and happen to stumble into a bunch of pro-anorexia message boards, right. You might become more likely to engage in that behavior.
Or like those teenagers on TikTok who develop Tourette's.
Don't even get me started on this. Every little person on TikTok's like, I have dissociative identity disorder.
I know.
You don't.
It turns out that 90% of the population has ADHD. Did you know?
My TikTok is diagnosing me left and right. Let me just Same. Tell you.
I truly will look at TikTok and be like, is this me?
It'll be like, if you have anxiety sometimes and also get distracted, you have complex PTSD.
If you don't feel like going into work today, 100% it's depression.
Yeah.
No, I just stayed out too late last night. I actually had a thought, not to throw this whole thing into a spiral.
I want you to throw it.
I want to go back to Dyson for just a second. Yes. So the Atmospherians, right, the whole concept was that he was essentially building background characters for himself to be the main character.
Right.
Because that's what an Atmospherian
atmosphere.
Is, was mm-hmm. these like background extras that he was used to being. So he's going to take away, he fit all these people into these 12 identities and he's taking away everything that makes them them. Their toxicity, everything that makes them them, and forming them into this background so that he can stand out as the one who fixes them, but he gets all the credit, which is why he was so upset when Sasha's getting all this attention and you turn around and it's, he's like, damn it, I'm a background character again.
Yeah.
Like,
that's a good point.
They don't even think I'm real. They think that Sasha's Dyson. Like, that's why he would get so upset. Because at the end of the day, like, all he wanted was to be front and center. Mm-hmm. He just wanted that attention.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think you cracked the code. That was it.
And I also didn't even know about Atmospherians being a thing.
Like, I didn't either.
That concept was really interesting to me.
Yeah. That was really cool.
Yeah.
The reason I was out of town last week is because we were shooting TV spots for a client. And so there were extras on set.
Child and extras.
Like the director would be like, okay, atmosphere, ready. And I was like,
that's
like,
so
it's
funny.
Real.
I heard it happen. That's so cool. Like, while I was reading the
It's real.
That's so funny.
I've Were you never like, seen it hey, everybody, before, do you want to hear a fun fact?
I was like, when we wrap today, meet me over there. We're going to talk about a cult.
Yeah.
Have the solution to all
you
of your
already
problems.
Kind of get the basic idea of it. So,
I just the whole backdrop for this cult to happen, because we're very insular in the cult for like a lot of the novel, and we get flashbacks and stuff. But when we jump out of Dyson's original conception of the cult and into what Sasha makes it later. And when we see, like, when the cult goes on a field trip, essentially, and goes out to the movies, anytime we would get a little glimpse of the outside world, I would just be like, what is going on here with these hordes? Like, this was my favorite part of the novel. I just thought it was really interesting.
Yeah.
And, like, I don't know, I'd believe it if this was a thing that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think... Well, I think it also comes out of this, out of the idea, like, what is a pylon of internet harassment if not a man horde, you know?
Like, or a group of guy friends catcalling you down the street. Like, do you think they would do that if they were alone?
Alone,
like, it's just the strength in numbers kind of aspect.
Yeah, and this, like, again, like, performative masculinity mm-hmm. where it's like, I want to prove to other men that I'm also man. So let me do this shitty thing because all of these shitty qualities are associated with being a man.
Sometimes it was really wholesome. Like, they got together and saved a kitten out of a tree. And like, they're still doing, you know,
yeah.
tropes of gender, right? Like, yes, or like they
right,
did
like
some
this idea
yard
of chivalry
work for someone.
Or, yeah.
That's a like a man chore. I'm putting quotes around all of this, but it yeah. gets dark quick when they start like jumping off of buildings together and murdering people and things like that.
Yeah, right. And even when they are doing like a positive thing, like we see it happen. Like up close mm-hmm. when Sasha and Dyson are in that like mall parking yes. lot and these men are trying or are fixing this woman's car and she's in the car and they're like just like picking up her car and doing shit to it and she's like stop
it's consensual
like,
oil
stop
changing
it. They like won't listen to her, she's like trapped inside this car right like and they're not like conscious, they're like in a
non-consensual oil change is the title of that episode.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I thought it was, like, a very fascinating idea, and also it just made me think of, like, how good this book would be as, like a devs-style mini-series.
Also, like, in terms of what this is trying to say about toxic masculinity...
I know.
that we need to just section men off forever. Right? Because, like, the solution at the end, when, you know, everything... They're like... Men's suicide rates down this big percent. Man hordes basically eradicated. What's our solution? We put them all in a mall. And not every man on the planet, but like these men. These men that are like deemed toxic.
Hashtag not all men.
Get yes, put in a mall. And
hashtag make malls great again, too.
When I say men... If I mean you, you're probably not listening to this.
Our audience is about 85% women. I don't know if that shocks yeah. anyone.
If you are one of the men listening to this podcast, I'm probably not talking about you.
If you're one of the men listening to this podcast, you could be married to one of us.
You probably are married to one of the people on this show. So
my husband doesn't listen to this podcast. I'll tell you that right now.
Only sometimes, and then he'll complain. And he'll be like, I'm going to write in. Yeah. And then he won't write in.
And he doesn't. He just complains about everything.
He'll be like, they're just so wrong about, I can't even begin.
Yeah. Sounds like him.
Put him in a mall.
Put him in a mall.
But also, the mall did sound kind of dope.
It sounded so cool. Did anybody else notice? I'm like obsessed with Dyson.
Yeah.
Did anybody notice? How there was no statue of Dyson as requested.
Nope.
Like
the only thing he got was his one little picture.
Like he got like a blip
show.
Of flame. Of
they
flame.
Also they still throw up.
They still that's their tribute. To
like
Dyson.
That's the tribute is the most it, but yeah, is the most true. Disgusting thing. Like she, I don't
it's
think she's
worst.
All in the right.
Yeah,
because I was like, oh well, she's good. She made it healthy, but
yeah.
He, in his quest for being the main character of the atmosphere, was like, if I'll do this, if you'll just, I'll fake my death, if you'll just memorialize me. Because isn't mm-hmm. that all
mm-hmm.
we want, is to right. be remembered after we're gone. And so he goes into the lake with
does
this hope that he's going to be memorialized. And she doesn't do it.
Yeah.
Sasha's not a good person either.
Oh, no, no.
There's nary a good person in this book.
Not one.
Again, Peter.
I don't even think Peter's a good person.
He's probably not, but
we
didn't actually get to see
Peter.
His backstory at all.
We just know that Peter is accommodating.
Yeah. We just have a crush on Peter.
We know Peter yeah. is a generous lover.
Or at least an accommodating lover.
Peter did not do yes. anything actively throughout the book that was bad, is what I
Peter
will say.
Was an he atmospherian.
Yes.
What
he
I was mean, how good book, can the sex was. Be, though, if you're basically having sex in an outhouse covered in mirrors?
Yeah.
That might have been
think
part
that
of
the bar
it.
Was low imagine. At this point.
Yeah. So speaking of weird, funny things like that, I just want to talk about the satire and like the moments that I thought were really, truly hilarious. I have a couple of examples here, but like I would love to hear from other people too. But that organization that Sasha goes to like a benefit for called Click, where they're giving malnourished children digital cameras. Like not food or access to food. Just cameras.
Yes. Also the one which I texted you guys early on and I was like, cats in the schools is like the name of an organization. Just like cats in the schools, which is just like clearly like bringing cats to schools so that people can, which is great. But it's just like, like that was when I knew that this
book
was funny.
Also at that.
It's like in the second chapter.
Also at that benefit, she meets that guy who's like, I'm sure you've heard of, what was his thing again? The Silence? Or
his name was Cy, and his podcast was Silence.
You've heard of Silence? And she was like, I know that he like wanted me to be like surprised by who he was. So I was like playing along. Like, gosh, he seemed like the worst.
Yeah.
And his podcast is just like 60 minutes.
And later he's like.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and he's like, have you heard my podcast? So, get it?
He's yoga man, I think.
Yeah. He's like, there are some people who just agonize over whether or not it's really him sitting in a room for 60 minutes.
Yeah, that was just a dig at John Cage, I believe.
Deep cut.
The composer who just has that, yeah. He just has, and for anyone who doesn't know, there he's a composer who does some, like, performance type of things, and one of his things is...
4 minutes it's like a number, and 36 I don't remember what, seconds like three, of silence.
Four, yeah. And it's just him, and he sits down at his piano and then, like, doesn't do anything for 4 minutes and 36 seconds or however long it is. And so the composition becomes the sounds of the audience. But yeah, it's literally just that
person would
but
get
as a
invited to the Click benefit for sure. Mm. I laughed out loud at the sentence, the pressure of running a cult was eroding our friendship.
The thing is like a lot of the funny moments to me were kind of dark. Like Click is, it was, when you think about it too long, it's dark. But like saying the pressure of running a cult was eroding our friendship. It is like that is true, and they do have a really troubled relationship, but it is funny to put it that way. I laughed out loud when there's a point in the novel where like Sasha's really confused about her relationship with Peter and them having sex, and she's confused about like her influence on Dyson and how they're running this cult. And there's a point when they're like laying in bed together and she hovers her hand over him and he says, we're not like that. We've never been like that. Just pushes her away.
I laughed so hard.
Yes. And I think the other thing that makes it funny throughout is that Sasha doesn't think she's being funny. So, like, the stuff that she says that's funny is often her just, like, saying stuff. The other thing that I laughed at was, like, at the very end when, like, that journalist comes or whatever and he, like, sits down to, like, talk. And she starts, she, like, she's like, okay, you'll record me and you'll, like, tell my story. And then she, like, literally recites the first sentence of the book that's, like, so specific, like, very much, like, making fun of the idea of, you know, people, like, this, and that's the book you're holding right now. Like, but she literally is just, like, the first sentence of the book is, the men were outside my building, four of them, ruddy, dressed in camouflage shorts. And, like, she says that to the journalist. Like, I thought that was so funny. I think the satire here works really well, and I think it's very sharp and effective. And like, interesting. Like, I think that it did make me think about some things in, like, new ways that I hadn't totally considered. And, yeah, I was pretty impressed, actually, because, yeah. Like, satire is really hard to do, especially to carry it.
It felt very balanced to me. Like, it wasn't too much. It wasn't too, like, on the nose for me.
Yeah. Right.
Great.
I thought it was funny.
Well done. since we are running kind of long, let's try to, like, keep this last question / point relatively wrapped up, but just...
No, we're fine. We're at, like, an hour.
It's not so bad. We're fine.
I know Susan's tired.
I'm pregnant!
I didn't say you weren't allowed to be tired. I was just like, Susan, because Susan's pregnant.
No, I know. Just any opportunity to complain about being pregnant, I will take it.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. You are growing. Yeah. I cannot stress this enough. You are growing a whole ass human being inside of your body.
Other person.
So you can feel. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You're growing organs.
So you can feel however you need to.
I did not grow an organ today.
You know what? I still took a nap, though.
You can take. Look.
I mean, naps are
everyone can
universally
take a nap. I'm tired.
Encouraged.
I take a nap. I will say that right now.
Yeah. I support naps. Across the board.
Yeah.
Naps for all.
Well, in that case, pro nap. Don't try to wrap it up. Just talk your fucking asses off. this is the question. The ending / the atmosphere's continuation. Discuss.
This isn't really the ending, but I was very interested in DAM, the organization that tries to, I don't even know if poach is the right way to say it, but they try to employ Sasha and kind of take her away from the atmosphere with promises of, like, wealth and job security and a permanent home and all of this stuff. But, like, the whole premise of that software was really interesting because it basically, like, flags anything you write and tells you, is this appropriate?
Okay, so, fun fact on that, there is this... So a part of my background is in pageantry. I used to be in pageants. I just mocked a pageant wave. There was this girl I knew... when I was much, much younger in high school or something. And she came out, her platform was the development of a similar technology with text messages for girls to, like, not bully, you know, anti-bullying. Before you press send for every message, it's, are you sure you want to send this? And that's you have to click yes or no. It didn't do all the statistics, but I thought it was interesting that a concept made it into a book.
Yeah.
And, like, this is happening. Clearly,
yeah, like,
people
are thinking
about
it, especially
this.
In high school where you say
these
crazy things because you don't have fully developed decision-making skills.
It's interesting, too, because, like, they talk about the fact that, like, okay, so, like, originally the concept behind DAM was, like, supposed to be anti-bullying, but, like, the way that they have to advertise it is, like, how it's going to help the bulliers rather than the people who would get bullied, because they're like, well, these are the people who are bullies are the people who are going to be paying for this, so we got to talk about, like, why they would want this rather than why people who would maybe get harassed might want. So I thought,
which then Sasha turned it around and partnered with DAM at the end because she was targeting the people in the funder, like in DAM's funding audience.
Yeah.
Feels a lot like Melania Trump's anti-bullying.
Oh, I love, like, too, how, like, at the fundraiser, she, like, tells them all off, and then as she's leaving, she's, like, high-fiving them.
Be best.
She's like, I don't know why I'm doing this.
Yeah. Like, they all are just, like, crazily applauding her after she, like, condemned all of them. Which, like, yeah, I think it you know, the person who creates this, like, technology, or I guess, like, the CEO or whatever, is a black man, and he and Sasha have this conversation when they are at dinner, and he's trying to, like, convince her to do this, and he says, you know, like, I know that, like, me, like, I made this because I want, like, people to stop being, like, I want there to be, like, less mm-hmm. people like me being harmed emotionally on the internet.
He never
I want
confirmed.
Like, and I think is he? He's
because she tried
too,
to
right?
ask.
His example is
ask, and he was like, "We're not talking about."
Yeah,
me.
His example is like, "What if you had this situation where there was a gay kid?"
Right.
And she's like, "Are you the gay kid?" And he's like, "This isn't about me." Yeah,
asking for a friend.
That's not relevant. Yeah. So, but like, it's like if you like, who cares why the person who is going to be doing the harm decides not to do the harm. Like, the goal is to have them not do the harm. So that's kind of his point is, like, you know, people are being harassed on the internet, people are being bullied, etc. Like, you know, racism runs rampant, like, harassment runs rampant, and, like, whether or not, like he's like, I know that me saying, like, this, advertising it as a product that will help you be a better person is not.
People don't want to be better.
Use it. Advertising it as a, no, people don't give a shit. And that's why this is a problem in the first place. So you have to advertise it as something that will benefit you and stop you from ruining your own life. And that's the only way to make it work. And so it's interesting because it's like, it is like a complex moral thing to consider. Like, if you have all of your investors being fucking awful people, it's like, where do you draw the line of, like, what your goal is and what you're, like, sacrificing to achieve the goal? And I thought that that was, like, a very interesting conversation that they have.
I agree.
Yeah.
It's really interesting to think about Dam in the sense of having that accountability, almost somebody mm-hmm. to say, well, maybe not want to say that, instead of you turn around to the end of the book, which is back to the prompt, the end where she is convinced all of these people in the audience that they're the problem, and so they need to get ahead mm-hmm. of the problem instead of having something like Dam on the be their only thing. She's convinced mm-hmm. them that they all suck inherently and need to be better, and she puts them all in a big mall and just keeps them there.
Indefinitely.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because that's her thing, is she's like, you know, Dam is solving the symptom and not the actual problem. And so she's focused on supposedly solving the problem. But, like, what is she really focused on? Hard to say. Herself, mostly.
Mm-hmm. I think she's trying to punish and fix all of the quote unquote the bad, like, she's trying
the
to fix
man.
the troll yeah. man that said all these mean things to her. She's thinking that if she can
right.
fix
and
all
ruined
this,
her life by
yeah, and then she's also trying to mm-hmm. get that redemption too.
I don't think she's righteous about it, though. I feel like she's like, I don't know if it screws him up.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I will say, and this is kind of a little bit of a tangent, I love that they yeah. had escape rooms in the mall.
The Sherlock Holmes one?
Yeah, they had, like, when the reporter goes to investigate, he has to do an escape room, it seems. They don't call it that. They have, like, a big yeah. philosophical purpose for it. But there is straight up a scenario, like an escape room, and they have a certain time to complete it.
Yes. And they're like, they used to do these at company retreats.
I've done that at a company
I don't
retreat
know, like,
before. I also, like,
it was
unironically enjoy escape rooms.
I would quit
on
the spot.
It doesn't surprise me.
I do not do team activities. I would quit right there. Don't put me down for escape rooms. My family did an escape room one time and I almost got put up for
I mean,
adoption.
I'm not like a pleasure like, to be around.
We don't
room,
do that.
But I love it.
I've done them several times.
I've never done one, and I have never
I love escape to. Rooms, but I'm not intense enough, and then I get hurt. Like, my husband's family is super competitive. They're all really competitive. And so we did an escape room one time, and they were all just like, yelling, trying to figure stuff out. And I was like, I think there's a clue over here.
Listen to me. My brother proposed in an escape room, and it was pretty cool.
Did he say, you said yes, there's no way out now?
No, he should have. Man, I should have written that script for him.
I like escape rooms. I think they're fun. Am I good at them? Not necessarily, but...
I'm not.
We should start a cult based around that.
I am not in the cult. That is one good way to not get me to join the cult. It's like, our thing is we do escape rooms.
You can be the reporter who kind of...
I'll be the reporter.
It's just, it was interesting. And I think the reason that was interesting to me is everything in the mall had been repurposed to be something else. But I could see it. Like, it all made sense. And I guess this is like a testament to how good at branding stuff Sasha is, because I was like, yeah, this makes sense. Sounds good to me.
And her whole thing was like, yeah. It's the vibes of the...
As millennials, I think we all just kind of miss malls too. So we're like ready to be...
She's giving purpose to dead malls.
Totally. So do we think that the atmosphere is still going after this, or did the... Or did the reporter bring it all to the end?
The reporter was able to shut it down.
Nah, I don't think he did anything.
I think they gave him his money and they were... And, I mean, it mentions that it's the like, doctrine is in, like, over 200 countries now and, like...
Yeah.
So, even if he did that... I mean, look at, like, real... Look at Nexium. Mm-hmm. That still exists, even though... like
there have been high profile.
Or look at Scientology. Okay, that has not been taken down at all. That's
an
just
even
going
better
strong,
example.
Thriving.
Yeah.
So I think it, and Sasha probably knew also that even if this happens, it's
bring
only going to just
probably
bring more attention to it. That wouldn't hurt. She hasn't killed anyone.
Technically.
Yeah, questionably. Yeah,
but even people thinking she killed Dyson brings more attention to the cult, which is kind of interesting.
This book felt like a fever dream, honestly.
Yes,
I closed the book and I was like, "What the hell did I just finish? Like, what
it's
did
wild.
I read?"
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, there's a lot. I, like, struggled to even write these questions because I had, like, six other things, too.
Yeah, there's definitely plenty to talk about.
I at one point had a question that was, like, choose a topic from this sampler platter. I just had different things.
I mean, we didn't get into, and we don't have to, fully all the eating disorder stuff, which was genuinely difficult.
Oh, my God.
It was a lot. I wonder... never mind.
Yeah.
never mind. I wonder how much of this book, it's interesting to me. I wonder how much of what's in it is Isle working through their own stuff.
Yeah. Mm. That's, you
always,
know,
that's like, always the
every
question,
book's got a little bit of.
You're like,
Like, it just, I was going through it and I was like, this is.
Yeah,
I wonder how
very
much of,
specific.
Like, this is oddly
it's a debut
specific.
Novel, and I think sometimes once an author has like a couple of novels out, you start getting a sense of like what their obsessions are. And once and every single author has obsessions, you know, like that just kind of like carry through all their books. And I think like once you see what those obsessions are, that's when you know, like, okay, this is something they're working through, you know?
Yeah. Oh, now I'm like, what
yeah,
is
yeah, I think
obsessions?
I also.
Definitely identity.
Yeah. And gender.
But I mean, like, I think that, not to get into, like, this big thing about, like, what writing is, but I think, you know, people write in part to, like, work out what they think about things, right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's, I don't know what they're trying to work out here, but, like, there's something that Isle is trying to work out about what they think. What that is, maybe, like, that's going to take several books to figure out. But there's, you know what? They definitely have a lot of interesting thoughts happening.
Yeah. I will read them.
Yeah. I would definitely read another book by this author.
Yeah. Because.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do we rate?
Yeah. I'm dying to know what you guys rated this book.
Sorry, Susan. It just felt natural.
Oh, no, you're fine. That is the perfect progression of events. I'll start since I'm already talking. At first, I gave this a 3 because I was thinking like, oh, 3.5. And then I just kind of called it a 3. And then like an hour later, I took it to a 4.
Yeah.
One of the difficulties. I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say I also gave it a 4. I really, I'm very precious with my 5s. So, it's not like I have any major complaints about this. Like in general, I enjoyed it. It was like an easy read while also being like challenging in the sense of like challenging, like my ideas and thoughts about things and like just made me consider stuff. And I really liked the sci-fi, weird sci-fi elements. And I liked how terrible everyone was. And I thought it was funny. And
I liked how terrible everyone was.
it's like the same feeling you get from watching a show where like the point is everyone is awful. It's like, yeah. Succession. Like,
I mean, there's something hilarious about watching people be like really awful people. Like, yeah. That's funny.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why? I don't know, but.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and of course I love, like, just general, like, an entire book criticizing men, you know, and the idea of masculinity, always very enjoyable to me. So, yeah, I just, like, I don't know, I dug this, and the only reason I didn't give it a 5 is because, like, I tend to give 5s to stuff that, like, really, like, hits me emotionally, and I think emotionally this didn't pack, like, a punch for me, but I don't think that it was trying to do that, which is fine. It's just, like, for me personally, mm-hmm. that's what I need in a, like, in a 5-star read, you know?
Yeah.
I gave it a 4, but I feel like I'm in between a 4 and a 5. And the only reason for that is I loved this book. I thought it was great. Really, really enjoyed it. It was genuinely difficult for me to get through some of the scenes of everyone throwing up. And if it was difficult for me,
the thing is, I know it was not great. Like, my y'all. So like Susan and I both have talked about how we have like OCD, and one of our major obsessions is being having phobia of vomit, emetophobia. So for me, like, throwing up is scarier to me when it's, like, unexpected. When if someone decides they're going to throw up, it doesn't bother me so much. It's more to me when it's, like, linked to some kind of, like, medical issue. That's when I get really freaked out. But if someone's, like, so I don't really get that upset when someone throws up when they're drunk, because I'm, like, okay, like, I know why you're throwing up. It's because you drank too much and drinking and throwing up, not as upsetting to me. It's still not pleasant, and I still don't like it. Let's be clear.
Also, the cat thing.
That was upsetting.
Was hard for me.
Yes.
You guys rated this book really, really high.
Well, and honestly, like, for me to do that when there is that much focus on vomit is...
saying something.
It says a lot about the rest of the book.
Book, this is the second time, like, this has happened 3. On the podcast. And that was after this conversation. It was at a 2.5, half a star being because the book cover was so pretty. Like,
that's fair.
Like, the book cover in and of itself. I was like, I finished it and I was like, okay, well, at least I have like a cute on-brand book. It'll like, look good on my Instagram.
Shout out to Leiwan Kwan, designer. And that's important. Of mine.
This whole book, though, I appreciate it having been done with it. I found it hard to pick up because every time I would pick it up, what am I reading right now? Like, what is going on? At the end of it, I understand. And I'm like, okay, right. I'm glad I got through it. But I don't think I could confidently recommend this book.
Yeah. It's a very specific recommend.
Like, I couldn't be like, oh, I know a book I need to pick up. That's sort
of like, I keep going, like, whenever I think about, like, a book I really like that I wouldn't recommend to people, I always think of Earthlings. I'm like, gosh, I love that book, yeah, but like, exactly. I'm not going to recommend that to anybody.
Great example. Also a 4-star
I would never, the only person I would recommend that it to is Justine, which I did, and she loved it.
It was great. I love that book, but also like so weird.
See, and I, to recommend a book highly, which I guess is part of my toxic trait, I love to be able to recommend things. So a part of it being highly rated is how confidently I can recommend that book to others.
Yeah.
And I could not recommend it.
Yeah, I don't consider that at all when I'm rating something. I don't give a fuck what other people. Yeah.
We all have different criteria for like what constitutes the stars that we give out for sure.
So I also rated it a 4, but for me it was like it was teetering between 3 and 4. I don't know if we talked about what specifically, like, because like I feel like with a book like this, like I definitely, it felt like there wasn't anything like driving me to pick it up and read it, because like I wasn't like super like, oh gosh, what's gonna happen next, like, you know, like it wasn't very like propulsive, like I didn't like I wasn't, and I think part of that is like there's a lot of like character motivation that we like never really like fully understand, you know, like, and we talked about that a lot. Like we talked about like, why are they doing these things? Like, I don't like, it's a little like hard,
like a therapist, like,
especially
read.
With Sasha.
Yeah. We didn't, like, we talked about Sasha a lot more than Sasha.
Our main character, like, I'm not sure, like, I understand, like, what she wants other than to, like, not be hated by everyone. But then again, like, does she actually care? Like, I don't know. But,
it doesn't seem like she cares by the end.
Yeah. So maybe that's her journey from, like, caring to not caring.
But it's, but, like, is Sasha the main character or is Dyson the main character?
Yeah.
I think is that's Sasha a question for Isle.
Type.
Is Sasha really Dyson? Like everyone thought.
I can't. Anyway, we cannot go there.
It's a Tyler Durden situation. And this is something we didn't talk about, but I really feel like there's something, like there's a conversation that Fight Club and the Atmospherians are having with each
yes.
other. I feel that like we could do a whole podcast talking about Fight Club
in comparison to
this book. But like for me, like the most interesting thing, and I won't go into it too much because we talked about it, but like the most interesting part of the whole book to me was the damn stuff. Like when that started going, I was like, oh, all right, like this is interesting. I don't know, like maybe it was the sci-fi element of it, but I just found that really interesting. But some of the other stuff I was like, I wanted a little bit, like I wanted to feel more like, I don't know, like engaged with the characters. But I still, like I said, like one of my rating things is like, after finishing this book, like would I want to pick up another book from this author? Like, was I intrigued? Was I entertained? And so I would say like overall, I was entertained by this book. I think for, especially for a debut novel, like shows promise, would definitely pick up another book by this author, was how I felt.
Yeah. It's like unique and different. And I think that's like another thing that I look for in a book is like, do I feel like I'm reading something that I don't, that I'm like, I've never really read anything like that before. Right. Like that was, you know, and I kind of felt that way about this.
That's definitely this book.
I mean,
that was definitely our last book as well, in a bad but way, in a very different way.
I mean, what was our last book? Oh. Yeah, there's a reason I don't remember why our last book, because like I don't remember anything that happened.
You already wiped it.
It's gone.
It's already gone. Cool.
It happens. All right. Well,
this is when the music.
That was ratings. Way to go. Yeah, cue the music. All right, and we're back. We didn't go anywhere. Feedback. I don't think anyone wrote us anything about No Exit, but it appears, according to Emily, that Jace has some thoughts.
I know Jace listened to that episode, so I thought she might want to give us some thoughts about No Exit, the book and the film.
Womp.
I have so many thoughts, you guys. So No Exit was the book that got me back officially into reading.
Nice.
I gobbled that book up like there was no tomorrow. It stressed me out so much, which is what I look for in a book. I love to be stressed out. And I was so underwhelmed by the movie. The relationships were not clearly defined. I know, Emily, you mentioned this on the podcast before, so I'm not going to like reiterate everything, obviously. But first of all, the girl, what was her name?
Darby
was never on drugs in the book. And it really hurt my feelings that that her motivating drive could not just be, I want to go see my mom because she's sick.
Right.
It had to be, nobody wants you here. You're rejected. You're a bad person. And that wasn't how I read Darby at all. And that was why I really liked the book, because the whole time I saw myself in Darby.
Yeah.
And so they're like, they lost a lot of relatability in the movie there. And also, I was really disappointed that there wasn't very much sexual tension, because I audibly gasped whenever I found out that Ash was the bad guy in the book. I was like,
yeah, because he was really in the book. Yeah. He was set up as like a,
well, I feel like too, you got to know
figure.
And it's not one of those books. I would not put it in the same category as a Lucy Foley book, like The Guest List. I wouldn't put it in that kind of category, because it's that one person's perspective watching everything unfold around them, which I prefer. I don't like a Lucy Foley whodunit clue book.
So did Darby narrate the book?
It's from her perspective.
It's from her perspective. Okay. I think it's first person.
Yeah, I think it's, yeah, I don't think that she narrates it, but it's her perspective. And so I was just underwhelmed. And then she just, the whole book kind of, I mean, the whole book was amazing. And for the movie to just kind of fall flat.
Yeah.
Very disappointing. And
it fell very flat.
It did fall flat. And you didn't get to know the characters to be surprised at how it all unfolded. Mm-hmm. I did not like that the woman was the maid instead of the bus driver, which was a very subtle distinction, but I feel like maids have a more intimate look into your life, and so it was that much more malicious when this happened, instead of the bus driver who's just like dropping the kid off, doesn't really have anything to do with the kid. I can't think of one bus driver that I've ever had that I really loved. Like, that I remember.
I remember one of my bus drivers, but that was because he recorded an album of Christmas music and passed it out to all of us.
Was it good?
No.
Oh.
Oh. I hope he's not listening.
I don't think he is.
We're sorry, Mr. Bus Driver.
Bless you.
But yeah, those are my general thoughts on No Exit. I was sad that she had to be, like, coked out.
Yeah,
to rip her hand.
So weird.
That was actually, that was okay, but
upsetting.
The moment when she does the coke is so funny. Like, that's the only moment when the movie was entertaining to me, because I was like, this is so stupid.
I just wasn't on board for that. Like, that was the main thing that just throughout the whole thing really upset me. And then I don't believe that the kid was that bratty in the book either, because I liked the kid.
I liked the kid. In the movie, I was like, oh, great. She's getting kidnapped. Fine. Take her.
Yeah.
She's
right.
Awful.
Like, the book was much more sad that she was kidnapped. I don't know. It just was this whole
thing. It's more like emotionally compelling.
Yeah. I just feel like the movie was kind of poorly done.
Yeah.
You're not wrong.
You know.
I think
we did, you know, before the movie that you could shoot a nail gun with a real gun, or did you learn that along with us on the podcast?
I I think I knew that, but my grandpa's a carpenter. So, I mean, okay. He'd never, like, shot a nail gun at me, but...
No.
I think I knew.
Or anyone. I hope not. He would be a terrible grandpa.
I think I knew.
I knew this because like my grandpa used to shoot at me all the time with a nail gun.
It was our fun game that we would play.
You knew the dangers of a nail gun.
Yeah, right. The reason I didn't know is because Justin's never shot one.
I knew the dangers of a nail gun. I was never really allowed to touch one, so...
I didn't, truly listening back...
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I'm afraid... I was afraid of them either way. I just didn't know you could, like, fully...
Just
like,
listening back, Justin being like, that's fake! And Justin's like, oh, no, it's real.
No, he's like, that's exactly...
We're like, it doesn't work that way, does it, Justin? And he was like, yeah.
That was a real...
I think he was, like, a little disappointed in me that I haven't, like, learned anything from him renovating this entire house and, like, very often using
it. I don't know. Like, I can't tell you one time I've used a nail gun. So
I don't think I've ever been in the presence of a nail gun.
I have, and that's why I guess I should have known, but I learned. Now I know.
Look at Roger.
Roger!
Hey, Roger.
Oh. Tired.
Where's my buddy Rez?
Rez is upstairs. He goes wherever Justin goes. If Justin's not in this room.
No, Rez.
Neither is he.
Rez likes me the best. Don't tell Justin, but he likes me the best.
Yeah.
I mean, it was interesting when you guys visited that each of you had a dog that, like, seemed to click with you.
Rez was my baby.
I was like, oh, they all have their own
dog. Have their own dog. Roger's your dog. Mabel is Mary's dog. I get Rez.
We knew Mabel was Mary's, even though that was the first time they had met. But, like, Mabel has always been Mary's dog.
I mean, I love Mabel and Roger also. But, like, Rez and I, we just, like, we have something special, you know?
I understand.
So, it is what it is.
And that was dog rating.
That was dog rating order.
We got Slim Pickens on the block. And that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been...
It's okay.
A time.
YA Book Club is up. Mm-hmm. Emily and I talked about Of Curses and Kisses.
I was absolute trash for this book. Loved it.
And I did not love it. But I like stuff about it. You know, it was, we had a good talk about
it. I mean, I had my comments, questions, concerns, but I still was like, this is real fun. Anyway.
I wrote a post about Elden Ring, a new video game that the world is currently obsessed with. I am really enjoying this game. I like it a lot. However, I think that it has some accessibility issues.
Mabel!
What is that face?
She's so funny.
Intently, she is scared.
Sorry. But yeah. So, wrote about Elden Ring. And Susan?
Yeah, by the time you hear this, I will have written a blog post, and it will probably be about one of the new podcasts that I'm listening to, because I haven't really consumed a lot of other content lately.
Yeah, that's good.
Except for, like, baby-related stuff, and no one wants
to read
that.
A baby blog post. Top five baby books.
Ranking the terrible facts.
No!
Susan, do you have any baby name books? Are you picking out names?
I do have a baby name book. So that I actually love. I'm like, I really love names.
Oh,
yeah,
about
names, hearing where they came from, all of that. So yeah, we actually do have a name picked out for a girl and a boy, since we don't know what it is. But we're not telling.
Because you don't want anybody to like react to it.
No.
Right. Mostly, like, yeah.
You don't want to be like me. Like, my sister told me her baby's name, and I said out loud, that's a dog's name.
Or, like, on Riverdale, when Betty's sister tells her babies are named Juniper and Dagwood, and Betty goes, oh, my God.
Juniper's actually kind of cute, but...
Dagwood's the weird one there.
Yeah, the names we have picked out are not... I don't think would ever be confused with a dog's name. Even though my dogs have, well, two
people
of them
names.
Have people names.
I mean, Rez really all of them have name. People names.
Yeah, but I mean, that's a people's, like, last name.
It could be a first name.
It's a real
people. Emily's here to defend Rez's honor.
Rez's people, yeah, too. So,
but I love, even though we're, like, pretty set on the ones we picked, I still look at the baby name book
for
all
fun.
Because I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And that was the name corner. So, all right. What's up next? Well, remember last time when we told you that we were going to talk about the drama?
Yeah, that was right.
Which I'm really loving, by the way. It turns out it's not going to be over by the time we needed to record that. So we're
calculated.
Not going to do that.
We're pivoting.
Anymore.
I haven't started that yet.
Yeah. I haven't started it either. But I mean, maybe there is a blog post in the future about that. You know, like, I'm not saying we're not going to talk about it because.
Oh, I'd love to write about it. You know, I want to talk about anything to do with Elizabeth Holmes anytime.
And I read the book Bad Blood, so I feel like I have to do something with all that information. So,
yes.
Me too. I've listened to a podcast about everything. So we'll probably talk about it in some capacity.
Sit tight.
But now, instead, we're going to watch The Lost City.
A very important Oscar-nominated film.
It will be next year. I certainly hope so. Starring Channing Tatum and Sandra Bullock.
And Brad Pitt and Daniel Radcliffe.
So we were trying to figure out what to do for our next episode, and I was like, I just, like, I'm going to suggest this, and I really hope they say yes. And you guys said yes, so.
It looks absolutely
I'm really excited
wild.
For this movie.
Yeah, I'm, like.
It's book-related.
The first time I saw this trailer, I was in a movie theater, and I saw the trailer, and it ended, and I was like, holy shit, that looks amazing.
I know. I said the same thing, and Ben was like, that looks so dumb. And I was like, I got to see that movie. It's perfect. What amazing. It's like every single second the trailer continued, I was like, yes.
Ben
yes,
doesn't yes, have better. To go.
Let's go. Let's go. Let's go.
Ben doesn't have to
ben
go.
Ben doesn't have to go.
That book is that movie is at the top of my must-see list.
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, we all need more, like, adventure movies in our lives. It's such a rare genre these days. Like, we don't get enough of the, like, Indiana Jones vibe movies.
No.
Or, like, the Romancing the Stone vibe.
Yeah, adding in the rom-com element. Sandy Bullock, are you kidding?
Sandy?
Sandy, my girl. And
Channing Tatum.
Channing Tatum. It's really funny in the trailer because it's
Channing
Tatum. It's like Bullock, and then it's like Tatum. And I'm like, did he earn that?
I don't know.
This
after
is
Magic
it. This
Mike
is the
2?
Movie where he earns it.
Yeah. Magic Mike 2.
I thought he was really funny in 20.
Not He's Magic Mike funny. 2. Yeah. Magic Mike XXL. Feminist.
Yeah, call it by its
movie
real name.
Classic.
Yeah. I will never forget, I was in London when that movie came out, and I went to go see it on the 4th of July in a movie theater in London, and I was like, I really feel like I'm celebrating Independence Day in style.
Yeah. This is what America's way. All about.
I just remember my roommate, Rebecca, had like a whole speech about Magic Mike XXL and how it is centered on women and women's pleasure, and all of the men who ostensibly star in the movie are an afterthought. It's fun. It's fun to talk about. And Donald Glover.
Also, Donald Glover's in that movie. Yep. We're on the same page. Love him.
On our next book episode, we will be talking about Reprieve by James Hahn Mattson. I have not read any of it yet.
I just bought it, so
yes.
As Kelly saw, I sent her a picture.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I
don't
forgot.
Know
book
anything about
piss
it.
Ode, because the person got really mad at us for calling it a book pissode, because they said that it sounded like peeing all over books or something like that, and I was like, it sounds like.
Well, then you know what episode also sounds like.
Yeah.
Peeing.
Yeah, sorry, that's just the way that word is. So I'm going to need you to get over your urine obsession.
Why are you so afraid of urine? We all pee. Everyone pees.
Everyone pees.
This is why we're going to get canceled, is because we take one little thing.
Yeah. Anytime anyone criticizes us, we talk about it forever. Like, seriously, this is real. This is our toxic trait as a podcast.
It's true.
Anytime we get any criticism, even if it's, like, constructive feedback, we're like, you know what, motherfucker?
Yeah.
You know what? This is how we feel about your constructive feedback. You are a bad person.
Yeah, this is like the girl who gave us a 1-star rating because we spoiled a book without mentioning that we were going to spoil it. And we didn't spoil it. We just, it's the whole concept of the book. But anyway, let's not get into that. Yeah. We're not going to spoil it again.
I just want to say, I just looked at this book to buy, and it is about an escape room.
Oh, yeah, I know.
Yep.
I know. Reprieve.
Yep. Everyone, we all have to do an escape room as like a team building exercise before we talk about.
Yes,
it's like a like horror, like haunted escape room situation, but then it's also about racism. So
yeah, I'm excited. It sounds great.
It sounds super.
Saying racism sounds great, but like the premise.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. So yeah, that's my choice book. If you have any questions or comments about this episode or book or any other episode or anything we've ever talked about, I'm just gonna start calling it a apostrophe episode.
No, please just don't.
On our latest episode. You can email us at thesquad@booksquadgoals.com. Oh, it's Roger. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Roger. It's Kelly's dog. Look at my dog is not here. The only dog we don't get to see is my dog.
Oh, where's Rez? Okay, so thesquad@booksquadgoals.com. We are at booksquadgoals on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. You can visit our website at booksquadgoals.com. That's where our blog is. You can follow us and subscribe on any episode. On any episode? I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
you can subscribe to us
on any podcast app of your choice. Please do. And please give us a rating on Apple Podcasts. That's the most important place to give us a rating. That is where all of the ratings are born and distributed.
And so also, please do that. Go follow Jace.
Also, go follow Jace. Jace, remind us again what your handle is and what your podcast is called.
All right. I am at @I'm_Jace, J-A-Y-C-E, on Instagram.
Look at that boy.
Aww.
I can't even talk about Gus right now, but if you want to see an overload of Gus, my dog, especially for his gotcha day, check that.
Happy gotcha day, Gus.
Yes. So there's that. And then also theeditblog.net, the edit podcast. That is me. I look forward to seeing
you. And you got a Bookstagram now.
And I do have a Bookstagram, The Edit Bookshelf.
I'm just looking at pictures of Gus on your Instagram.
Lucky for you, I just storied my favorites on Instagram.
So many. So many good ones.
He is nothing if not photogenic. I look forward to seeing you on there.
Oh my god, your wedding dress is so beautiful. Thank
you. I know,
so
now we're just gonna look like Jace is so cute.
Keep it on track, people.
I go to my Instagram if you want to see Fun Inside Looks at Me. We debunk a lot of Instagram and social media things. We do coaching, we do consulting. Hit me up. That's me.
It's been so wonderful having you.
I have loved this. Jace. This is so fun. I'm so honored to be included on this. I feel so smart.
You have to come back.
I appreciate it. I'll be back anytime.
Yes, definitely come back.
Probably not for the escape room episode. That doesn't sound like my thing. But another one, perhaps.
Yeah. We'll figure out another one for you to join us.
I feel like Jace feels about escape rooms like I feel about arts and crafts. Mm-hmm. You know, as soon as someone says we're doing arts and crafts, I'm like, I got
a lot of feelings about arts and crafts. Meanwhile, I'm like, give me some arts and crafts.
I'm not a team player, and I can admit that. That's not my strong suit. I'm not a team player.
I feel the same. I feel
similar. Not the group project, girl.
I think, you know,
despite us having a podcast with four people.
You cannot like collaborative projects or like group work and still be like a cooperative team player. It's just like...
It's true. It's just not my preference.
Yeah.
Right. I'd rather do it myself. Thank you.
Yeah. But anyway,
I enjoyed it. Thank you so much.
And thank you, Jace, for joining us. And
yes.
I'm going to follow all of your things right
now. I look forward to it.
Get off of here.
See you on the gram.
Yay.
Goodbye.